Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is our sixth show in the series to bring you vital information and discussion of all sorts of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the U.S. with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. We work together with you, our patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health issues, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we address all kinds of issues, including chronic back and other pain problems, gastrointestinal health, healthy aging, navigating surgery, sleep and health, wellness and chronic illness, and many others. And we'll do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with our patients in our practice. In the last two shows, we offered a series on nutrition, discussing nutrition basics which are important in order to be able to make intelligent and appropriate decisions about our own dietary choices, depending on who we are and the specifics of our lives. Nutrition is not a one-size-fits-all garment. Our age, our gender, our athletic activities, our work and stress demands, our state of basic health, all can shift our nutritional needs and choices. So in order to understand how to answer the questions on everyone's minds about nutrition, what should I eat, do I need supplements, we first have to understand a little about basic human nutritional requirements, which is what we covered in the last two shows. Today's show will be the final in our nutrition series, for a while anyway, and we'll tackle the complex subject of vitamin and mineral needs and potential supplements. If you'd like to review what we already talked about so far in nutrition, you can listen to the first two nutrition shows online by going to Robinhood Radio's website, the on-demand section, and then select the Your Health shows, and then choose Nutrition 1 or 2. But today we're going to tackle vitamins, minerals, and the question of whether or not to take supplements. My patients often come in and say to me, whenever I go to the health food store, I see hundreds of supplements. I don't even know what they're all meant to do. I don't know if I need any of them. It's all so confusing. How do I know if I'm getting all the vitamins and minerals I need? Should I change my diet? Should we all take fish oil or vitamin D? Do I need melatonin for sleep? Do I need calcium for osteopenia? I don't know what to do. Then they start holding their head and wringing their hands. So I do my best to reassure them and clarify this for everybody, and we're going to try to do that today. So first, let's consider again what all the essential vitamins and minerals are and how they come into our diet. Remember from last time that the human body is made up of different organs and tissues: liver, heart, eyes, skin, fascia, bone, blood, lymph, mostly all made up of different kinds of cells and lots of water. Remember from your basic biology that cells are the microscopic building blocks of most life forms. Current estimates of the number of cells in the human body range from about 50 to 100 trillion cells, which is a mind-boggling notion, and that's in the context of recent discovery that there are 10 times as many helpful bacterial cells as human cells integrated into most of our body. That enormous, diverse, and helpful bacterial population is often called our microbiome. It's integrated into our physiology and is essential to our nutrition. So keep in mind there are an enormous number of specialized human and bacterial cells working together in a big series of vital microecosystems layered within the human body that make up all of our tissues and organs and hence our whole body. And all these cells have basic needs in order to keep alive and healthy and doing their jobs. And all those cellular needs translate up into our basic dietary nutritional needs as a person. So remember that in our efforts to feed ourselves the basic requirements of nutrition, we depend not only on what we put in our mouths, but also who, in the form of our gut microflora, is living within us to help us digest and absorb what we eat. And in turn, remember that that gut microflora is influenced and changed by what we eat. We've already talked about how we can best meet our basic needs of fats, which we need the least amount of, plus the five food groups of protein foods, dairy, grains, fruits, and vegetables, which we need the most of, including about 50 grams of protein every day, 5 to 13 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables every day, and the sources of our 13 essential vitamins and about 15 essential minerals that we need. That is all best summarized and obtained by eating a diverse, plant-heavy diet full of fresh, whole, unprocessed foods that include plant oils, lots of sustainably grown fresh fruits and vegetables grown without pesticides, whole grains, nuts, beans, and seeds, and if we wish, small quantities of fresh, locally grown, grass-fed, and sustainably raised animal-based food, with no processed high sugar or refined flour foods. This approach will put almost all of us on the right track to meet all of our nutritional needs, including those 13 essential vitamins and 15 essential minerals. The key for getting all your vitamins and minerals is this very diverse plant-based diet, rich in sustainably or organically grown fresh fruits and vegetables with whole grains, nuts, beans, and seeds, and small quantities of high-quality, sustainably grown animal-based foods. This is the best way to meet our nutritional needs, and in our area, it's not hard to do. So let's get a better understanding of our vitamin and mineral needs in a specific way. Each of the essential vitamins and minerals has an important job in the body. Vitamin or mineral deficiency can cause health problems. Not eating enough fresh fruits and vegetables, beans, lentils, nuts, and whole grains will increase your risk for such deficiencies and can lead to disease, including heart disease, cancer, and poor bone health, or osteoporosis. So let's talk about what those essential vitamins and minerals are in more detail. First, we'll tackle the vitamins. Vitamins are any of various organic substances that are essential in minute quantities to the nutrition and metabolism of most animals and some plants, actually, They act particularly as coenzymes and precursors of coenzymes in the regulation of metabolic processes. They don't actually provide energy or serve as building blocks, and they're present in natural foodstuffs, and they're sometimes actually produced within our body. And here they are. Vitamin A helps form and maintain healthy teeth, bones, soft tissue, mucous membranes, vision, and skin. There's a whole complex of B vitamins, and we're going to talk about them individually. They're sometimes confusingly named because they have a number, vitamin B1, for example, and a name, thiamine, for example, for the same vitamin. So I'll talk about both. Vitamin B1, aka thiamine, helps the body cells change carbohydrates into energy. It's also essential for heart function and healthy nerve cells. Vitamin B2, riboflavin, works with the other B vitamins, and it's important for body growth and the production of red blood cells. Vitamin B3, niacin, assists in digestion and conversion of food into energy, and it's important in the production of cholesterol. Cholesterol, by the way, is a crucial molecule in all of our physiology and a very important building block in cell membranes. It's not always a bad actor. Vitamin B5, pantothenic acid, is essential for the metabolism of food. It also plays a role in the production of hormones and cholesterol. Vitamin B6 is also called pyridoxine. B6 helps form red blood cells, maintain brain function, and plays an important role in protein metabolism that are part of many chemical reactions in the body. Vitamin B7, also called biotin, is essential for the metabolism of proteins and carbohydrates and in the production of hormones and cholesterol. Vitamin B12, cobalamin, like the other B vitamins, is important for metabolism and helps form red blood cells and to maintain the central nervous system. Folate is another vitamin in the B complex that works closely with vitamin B12 to help form red blood cells, and it's needed for the production of DNA, which controls tissue growth and cell function. Pregnant women should be sure to get enough folate, as low levels of folate are linked to birth defects such as spina bifida. Choline is also part of the vitamin B complex, and it plays a key role in the production of cells and neurotransmitters. That's a big list of B vitamins, and they're all really important. Now, moving down the alphabet, vitamin C, also called ascorbic acid, is an antioxidant that promotes healthy teeth and gums. It helps the body absorb iron and maintain healthy tissue, and it promotes wound healing. Vitamin D is also known as the sunshine vitamin, since it's made by the body after we're in the sun. People who don't live in sunny places may not make enough vitamin D. It's actually really difficult to get enough vitamin D from food sources alone. Vitamin D helps the body absorb calcium, which you need for the normal development and maintenance of healthy teeth and bones. It also helps maintain proper blood levels of calcium and phosphorus. Vitamin E is an antioxidant, also known as tocopherol. It plays a role in the formation of red blood cells and helps the body use vitamin K. Vitamin K is often not listed among the essential vitamins, but without it, blood doesn't coagulate. And some studies suggest that it's important for promoting bone health. So that's a pretty long list of vitamins. Not easy to keep track of them. Another reason just to eat lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, and beans, and a diverse, healthy plant-based diet. Now the minerals. Minerals are inorganic elements found in the environment, such as calcium, iron, potassium, sodium, or zinc. And they are essential to the nutrition of humans, animals, and plants. Most of these are used as important building blocks for cells and tissues or as cofactors in important biochemical reactions in our physiology. They're almost all needed in relatively tiny amounts from micrograms to just a few milligrams daily. With the exception of calcium, potassium, magnesium, and sodium, and those are needed in larger quantities every day. However, just because a mineral is needed in very small amounts does not mean it's unimportant. In fact, that tiny amount can be absolutely key for optimal metabolism and health. So here's an introduction to our mineral partners in health. Calcium is essential for bone growth and strength, blood clotting, muscle contraction, and the transmission of nerve signals. Chromium helps control blood sugar. Copper is important in the metabolism of iron. Iodine is crucial in the production and physiological management the body does for thyroid hormone. Iron is a key component of red blood cells and many enzymes. Magnesium helps with heart rhythm, muscle and nerve function, and bone strength. Manganese is important in forming bones and some enzymes. Molybdenum is key in the production of other enzymes. Phosphorus allows cells to function normally and helps the body produce and store energy at the cellular level. It's also key in bone growth. Potassium is important in maintaining normal fluid balance, helps control blood pressure, reduces the risk of kidney stones, and is a key molecule in cellular metabolism and signaling. Selenium protects cells from damage, helps regulate thyroid hormone via the iodine pathways. Sodium is important for fluid balance and signaling processes at the cellular level. And lastly, zinc supports the body's immune and nerve function, and it's important in reproduction. A diet rich in diverse plants, fruits, veggies, grains, nuts, seeds, and small quantities of sustainably grown, grass-fed, and organically grown meats, eggs, and dairy foods will supply all your vitamin and mineral needs. But what if I am a vegan and eat no animal products at all? I keep hearing that I can't possibly get all my vitamins and minerals if I don't eat animal products. Well, that's actually not true, but it does take more attention. There are numerous online pamphlet, book, and magazine charts detailing food sources and daily recommendations for essential minerals and vitamins. Most of these will give reasonably accurate renditions of the details of how to get all your vitamins and minerals from a vegan diet and a full diet. The trouble with most of them, though, is that they really only list the most abundant food sources, and that often includes a lot of meats and dairy. However, it's important to note that these lists don't account for the small amounts of many essential minerals and vitamins found in fresh whole plant foods. This means it is possible to meet all of a vegan's needs by eating a daily diet rich in lots of different fresh fruits, vegetables, beans, peas, nuts, and whole grains, with one primary exception. The primary exception to being able to get all of our vitamin and mineral needs met with a vegan or non-animal foods diet is vitamin B12. Possibly iron and calcium if we're not careful about that, but usually a little extra attention will take care of the iron and calcium needs. B12 is more challenging because there are no plant sources of vitamin B12. But there are microflora sources, good healthy bacterial sources, such as can be found in some fermented foods like brewer's yeast, miso, and fresh, unprocessed, unpreserved refrigerated sauerkraut, and also in some sea vegetables, in other words, in seaweeds. A strict vegan will need to ensure adequate B12 intake through eating these kinds of microflora-rich foods or by taking supplements. The website, quote, World's Healthiest Foods, unquote, does a very good job of detailing sources and amounts of essential vitamins and mineral sources for vegans as well as everyone else. Now, I just want to make it clear, I have no relationship with the folks who create the world's healthiest foods website, either professional or personal. And while I don't necessarily agree with every single detail on the site, I have found it to be a reliable, current, accurate, accessible, and really great detailed guide for basic nutritional information for all. So I highly recommend checking that out. And while we're still on the vegan subject, it's especially important to note that because infants, children, adolescents, and pregnant and lactating women have increased caloric and nutrient needs, individuals in any of these groups choosing to follow a vegan diet must be really, really careful to include a wide variety and adequate amount of food from all the food groups, fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds, to ensure that all their nutritional needs are being met. Organic vitamin and mineral supplements are often advisable for these folks while they're on a vegan diet. Pregnant women in general need to confer closely with their obstetrician regarding their diets, what they should and should not be eating, and what supplements they should and should not be taking. And almost all pregnant women are advised to take folate supplements to ensure that their child does not suffer from birth defects like spina bifida. All right, what about that vitamin D issue? Whether or not we can get enough in these chilly northern climates. Vitamin D is made in our skin when exposed to a moderate intensity of sunlight. It's a crucial vitamin for many aspects of our physiology, including calcium metabolism. It can be absorbed from foods like fish oils, but is found in relatively few food sources. In our area, as with most areas of the world far from the equator, we can't get enough sunlight to meet our vitamin D needs for at least 6 months of the year, those cold 6 months. And many of us are indoors for much of every day, regardless of the time of the year, and rarely get enough sun exposure to make sufficient vitamin D in any case. It's important, therefore, to check your vitamin D levels when you're having a physical and doing other routine blood work to ensure that you're getting enough vitamin D. Taking appropriate amounts of vitamin D supplements if your levels are suboptimal is a great thing to help build your health. And that brings us to that issue of how do I know if I need vitamin or mineral supplements? Basic blood levels of iron, calcium, potassium, sodium, magnesium, phosphorus, and vitamins B and D are readily checked during routine blood work, often performed as part of an annual physical. Thyroid hormone levels are also routinely checked and may be part of a consideration of whether or not you are getting adequate iodine. Other vitamin and mineral levels can also be checked through blood work, but are more elaborate or less commonly used tests. You can ask your doctor about any of these to see if it's appropriate for you to have them checked. If you determine with your doctor that specific vitamin or mineral supplements are needed, it's important that you ensure the purity and reliability of the dose, as well as the availability to your body of that particular vitamin or mineral, depending on the formulation. For example, calcium supplements are available as many formulations, but we know that calcium citrate is more readily absorbed than most others. Vitamin D is also available in different formulation, but it is the D3 form that's most readily absorbed and used. Remember, the least expensive supplement is rarely the best. So, making choices about what vitamin or mineral supplements to take, if any, depends on many considerations, depending on your health, age, gender, activity level, lifestyle, nutritional status, and any symptoms or health challenges you may be experiencing. It's best to talk with a knowledgeable physician who'll consider your whole situation before making vitamin or mineral supplement choices. You may need blood work or other testing to determine your optimal supplement formula and dosing, as well as considering your health, diet, stage of life, and lifestyle. This is where a good osteopathic physician can be especially helpful. By talking deeply with you about all of these issues, considering all of who you are, how you live, how you work, what you eat, and by considering with you your own extraordinary anatomy and physiology that make that miracle of nutrition happen every time we eat. The physical mechanical aspect of nutrition is sitting within us in the shape and form of all of those organs and tissues in our physical body that make digestion and metabolism happen. These are subject to all the stresses and strains that the rest of our body is subject to, which is why osteopathy can be so helpful in optimizing nutrition through optimizing structure and function of our gastrointestinal system, including maintenance of a healthy gut flora that's so key for absorption and utilization of vitamins and minerals in our food. How can the gentle hands-on work of an osteopathic physician help your anatomy help with your nutrition? Well, let's remember that relationship between structure and function and the ecosystem nature of the human body. The gastrointestinal system can be thought of as our nutritional system. Mouth, tongue, teeth, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, liver, gallbladder, pancreas are all involved in processing, absorbing, and utilizing nutrients. Every one of these organs is made up of specialized tissues that perform numerous critical functions and services. Each of these organs is contained within a fascial sleeve that is interwoven through all of the adjacent organs, and these organs are suspended by ligaments from within the abdomen as well. And they are all packed in closely and efficiently, yet flexibly within our abdomen, ranging from just underneath the diaphragm, surrounded by the lower ribs, all the way down to the pelvic floor. When the diaphragm moves up and down as part of our healthy breathing, these organs are rocked and their circulation is assisted. Each of these organs is supplied by a complex set of arteries and has their waste removed by veins and lymphatic vessels. If the vessels are compressed, if the fascial sleeves are pulled tight or twisted, if the diaphragm is restricted and not moving well or moving in a twisted fashion, the gastrointestinal organs are restricted and their function can easily be affected in a negative way. The nerves that control the function of these organs also course through all of these tissues. And if their path is compressed, inflamed, or restricted, this can easily lead to an overactive or underactive digestive function. And this can really change how we absorb and use our nutrients, including vitamins and minerals. An osteopathic physician who is a manual medicine specialist can use their hands to determine if such restrictions in the tissues are part of a patient's GI-related nutritional pathology, and they can gently assist your body to release those restrictions and restore normal function. Often, such problems go undiagnosed until all kinds of other approaches have been tried and failed to help. The manual approach of a licensed osteopathic physician can allow your body to resolve the problem using its own marvelous anatomy and its relationship to physiology. And this is a wonderful and remarkable process. Well, that's all we have time for today. Next time, we're going to tackle the big subject of chronic back pain. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sunday evenings at 5:30. Enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.